We were at the playground. My 2.5-year-old great niece, Linny, her dad, and I. And after the requisite climbing, swinging, running around, we moved over to the sunken sandbox. Brian and I sat on the side in a corner, and Linny got to work rearranging the sand. I'm sure she was preparing for a build in Haiti with me in a few years. It was quite a large sandbox, maybe about 10 by 10. And before long, a little boy, about 4 years old, wandered over and stepped down into the sand. He found a red plastic shovel, and he began his own digging and building. It didn't take long before he moved over closer to us. He was still actively working on the sand, as was Linny. She was working pretty close to our knees, and we were rather compact in a corner of the sandbox. There was lots of room in that sandbox where we weren't. The boy started working on something like a tunnel or a path, and he was excavating toward us. Then his work moved him into Linny's personal space, or so I judged. There was this whole huge sandbox. Why was he intruding into her area? It's as if he could see the bubble over my head and my protective, introverted, name-your-character flaw thinking. And without stopping his work, he simply declared, "I need more territory." Being the great aunt and the visitor to the neighborhood, I realized that I should keep my mouth shut. But that didn't stop my head from working overtime. From the freedom and creativity of the sandbox, I jumped to the flaws of human nature, always wanting more, taking advantage of the younger. Was this little boy giving in to the evidence of some innate gender differences? I can't even remember what or if anything happened. I do remember that I went away musing about, "I need more territory." That he had the word territory in his vocabulary, and how often humans insert themselves into other people's space because they want more territory, and how this has caused so many problems through time. When will we ever learn? How quick I was to get defensive and protective when a 4-year-old with a red plastic shovel got into our territory. How quick I was to let fear shape my response. How quick I was to assume that he was approaching with his self-interest in mind and without any internet interest in connecting with that other child in the sandbox. How quick I was to set up a barrier to keep him away from what we were doing. And I'm the childless great aunt. I haven't spent years developing that mama bear protective muscle. And even without that history, I was quick to think, "Stop, don't get in her way, let her have her space. You're approaching us, you're encroaching on her territory. There's a huge sandbox. You can claim your needed territory. Why us? Why our little section?" And the conversation has stayed with me. I need more territory. Really, 4-year-old boy? You are already conditioned to be taking over, expanding your realm into that of another? We have a lot of work to do, don't we? If the world's going to be any better, if we're going to stop what seems to be the endless cycle of war and conquering, we need to help shift the actions and instincts of 4-year-old boys from acting on their desire for more territory and intruding on the playtime of my great niece. I better get going and help shift those mindsets and encourage other ways of acting and being that are more conducive to being a beloved community, with open hearts, gratitude, generosity, looking out for the welfare of others. I better do something to help them change what they are doing. Then I began reflecting on this reading from Jeremiah for this week, and there was a shift. A shift that was simultaneously life-giving and a painful reminder of my imperfect humanity. I had totally assumed that this boy's declaration for more territory was about taking something from me or Linny. I had assumed that his getting close to me was going to hurt me somehow. I erected walls and barriers and thought about how to keep him away and how to change his behaviors so that the world could be a better place. But what if it wasn't him that needed to change, but me? Maybe this boy wasn't coming to invade our space. Maybe he was coming to offer us something. Maybe he saw our metaphorical walls of self-protection and self-interest, and he was coming to show us a different way, a more open way, a more communal and compassionate way. Maybe he was that little child leading us, and he was all set to expand a territory of love, justice, welcome, hope. Maybe it wasn't that I needed to get going to figure out ways to change him, but it was me that needed to change. That it's me that needs to change from deciding that he is a threat, and instead to start looking for love and life in his presence, in his words, in his actions. Maybe I can switch from seeing his sand tunnel as an intrusion into our space, and instead see his labor making a way for love to flow into what had been a closed-off area. Maybe it isn't about changing him. It's about changing me. And in my changing, I open more to God's promise and love. And in doing so, the ever-present holy seeds of life, hope, and love are watered and prepared to blossom. Is this what Jeremiah is saying in our sacred story? His people are a tiny population of foreign Babylon. His people, faithful Jews, have been exiled from their homeland and displaced into a territory of other religion, other politics, other ethnicity, other tradition. All around them are people that do things differently. All around them are threats to the traditional practice of their religion and their Jewish piety. All around them are peoples whose government has taken more territory, quite literally what had been their homeland, their own territory. And in that wasteland and oppressive situation, how natural it would be to retreat, build walls, glare out in anger and fear at those who need more territory still. It's a far more consequential situation than a four-year-old with a red plastic shovel in a sandbox. Everything instinctive says, stay away. Jeremiah knows how human we are. He's one of us, after all. And Jeremiah also trusts in God and has opened his ears to hear the peculiar, life-giving words of God. And he speaks to those that are trembling, that are displaced, that are scared of the environment around them, that are fearful about what is to come. This is what he tells them. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. In the midst of the pain, in the fragility of the present, in the reality of oppression, do things of life and trust the presence and power of God to sustain, create, and transform. Be alive. Be compassionate. Be about co-creating in the way and will of God. Don't use all your energy crying foul and labeling what's wrong. Get about bearing fruit and opening to God and settling in to be alive, to be compassionate, to be hope in what is. Now, Jeremiah can say all this because he is certain about God and God's promises. His complete trust in God enables him to speak life and act for life in really challenging times. I know I am not as consistently bold as Jeremiah. I falter, I stumble, I see a four-year-old boy with a red plastic shovel, and I get defensive. I give thanks for the transforming love of God that is active at all times, not just when I have it together. It's offered to us. It's there for us, moving in the world all around us. Followers of Jesus proclaim the presence of that love, and we do our best to let it matter. We are infused with the Spirit and grounded in our sacred story that says our God is calling us forward. We are always in the presence of God's grace. Our lives and the world around us are fragile, unpredictable, awesome, and violent. And Jeremiah invites us in that reality to plant our whole selves into the soil, to settle, to dig into the ever-present love and compassion and hope and peace of God, to put our roots down into the grace and let it flow up into whatever is, to be about life in the midst of it all, to dare to let the fear collide with love, to consider that someone declaring that they need more territory might be the life-giving presence of God coming to us in another who is offering us wholeness and love. It might be God's persistence in reaching out and coming close, so ready to embrace and live with us, if we will receive the wonder. It might be that God is here and beckoning us to settle in the grace, the light, the welcome, the acceptance, the love, the promise that endures in all that is, despite all that is, through all that is. Settle. Settle. Amen.